Timothy Bradwell Peacock Matthews, born on the 9th of February 1934. At Mum's working life at that time, according to my birth certificate, she was a boarding house keeper. But she had been a secretary at Accrington Grammar School, which is where she met my father, who was in the art department there. I believe he was head of art, actually. She started on leaving school, which I imagine was 13, and went into a cotton mill, I presume, because that's what Accrington's famous for, isn't it? I only know that because she could do a weaver's knot and she could lip read, and later in life she dressed up as a Lancashire weaver of 1913, so as a fancy dress, and then she went to night school and became a secretary at some point, I don't know when, but also she did singing with the silent films, and the only one I remember her mentioning was the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, and she got a shilling a night for that. I was always going to be a teacher. It was accepted right through my life that's what I was going to be. But the other girls in my class, I was in a grammar school of all girls, and they were going to be secretaries, or they were going into nursing, or like me, going into teaching. One of them wanted to become a librarian. So that was that sort of thing. But there was a lower class, if you like, educationally speaking. You know, we were in two groups, the higher class that went on to higher education and the lower class that didn't. And some of them were going into shops and maybe hairdressing. And that was about all we ever thought of. Two-year training course, because they wanted teachers back in the mid-50s, early 50s. It was very much like school, actually. We had lectures 9 till 12 and 2 till 5. And again, in the evening during our first year, we were under supervision in a room doing homework, is one way of putting it, I suppose, but working on subjects that we'd been given, with a second year supervising us. So we didn't get out at all during the week. In fact, we also had jobs to do. Get up, make our beds, clean our bedrooms, and jobs around the college like dusting windowsills and things. We had Saturday afternoons free. We obviously had lectures Saturday morning. And on Sunday we had religious lectures and church every morning, because it was a Catholic convent school, college. So we went to Mass every morning. Sunday afternoons we were free as well. But we were all locked up at 10 o'clock at night. Well, I applied for and got a job in Bedford County, which was on the outskirts of Luton City, town, whatever Luton was at that time, in what was a county primary school, children aged from 5 to 14. The school age rose at that time, I think to 15, and the kids who had to stay on that extra year did not like it. Fortunately, in that school, they did have a teacher who understood and gave them jobs like gardening, mending our bicycles, repairing the cars of the staff, and odd jobs like that, as well as doing some classroom work. So he was very understanding. We did our normal teaching. It was like a family there, though. The staff, there were 11 of us, and we all just got on well together. Some male, some female. There was no difference between us in any way. It was an excellent place. I was only there for 2 years, and then I decided I was going to go somewhere else and possibly get a little more money, although I felt quite well recompensed, really. And I went to a convent school at Waterlooville near Portsmouth. But I was only there for a term, because during that summer holidays I met the person who was going to become my husband, and he kept coming up to Portsmouth to visit, and I gave my notice in for Christmas, claiming that my mother needed me, very naughty on me, and moved back to Plymouth and was teaching at a school in Plymouth for the rest of that school year. Got married during that year and moved so that I had to catch three buses to go to this particular school, and asked to be moved anyway because it was an infant school and I was a junior teacher, and I was moved up to the junior school, which meant two buses instead, which was good, and taught there then till the following year, but I was pregnant, so I had to leave. You didn't stay on. Mothers weren't expected to carry on working when they had small children. I think that was really the basis of it. Looking back, I feel pretty sure, you know, if you had a baby at home, you stayed at home. And I'm not sure if that just applied to teaching or other jobs as well or not, but certainly that was the feeling I have. The people I got to know who were expecting around that time weren't at work. They were definitely at home looking after the house and the husband. Whilst I was still pregnant and sewing baby clothes and knitting baby clothes, we were beginning to build up a television rental business. My husband worked as a civilian for the RAF radar station nearby, and that was shift work, which was great because it was an 8-day shift, so some days he was off in the afternoon, some days he had the whole day off, and so on. He worked night shift as well, you see, and it meant that he was available to do, in the first instance, selling televisions to a new housing estate, and then he realised that there was a niche for rental, and I would be sitting in the car sometimes as he went to visit somebody to sort out a job, wherever it happened to be. So it was an outing for me, in a sense, sitting there in the car whilst he went inside and did the job. So that was autumn 58. And the following year, there was plenty of work for me to do, and we set up an office in the house, and I worked there, didn't have another child until my daughter was three. And by then we'd moved house from a flat into a house. My daughter was 3 years old when we moved, just over three, but she was quite used to answering the telephone and giving the number and then saying, "Just a moment, please, I'll go and get her." No wonder she's managerial now. We took on what my eldest daughter calls girlies. I think we called them Man Fridays at the time. Young girls who would look after the children and enabled me to sit in the office and do my work while she got on and looked after the children, did some housework. And then I'd go through and cook a meal for us all. And, you know, that's how we coped at that time. Then we moved, then we had a shop after a while. But I think I'd got my third child by then, because I think she was about five when we bought the shop. Or rather, my husband bought the shop. And I then was working over at the shop. But the children were at school then, you see. So it's a question of getting them off and off to school and then going and opening up the shop. In the early 60s, when I had my second child, round about then, because father-in-law was beginning to get to the retiring age, and we had this land. My husband had bought this land, and he took some of the dairy cows and had calves at foot. So he'd go off to the market sometimes, buy a couple of extra calves so that they could suckle the cows. But when they were first calved down, I would milk out the colostrum And until we got the extra cars, I would keep on milking them. It was something I could do. My husband said, "Oh, I couldn't." I don't know why he didn't manage it, but I did. So sometimes it would be a question of going out there quite early in the morning. And then after we got the shots, I would go out sometimes if there was that situation. And then he'd drop me back at the shop, and I would go into the toilet next door. There was a cafe next door. I'd go into the toilet there and get changed, grab a cup of coffee and go into the shop and open up. In the meantime, my daughter, the oldest daughter, was about 11, 12, was getting the children off, the other two, off to school. They were 3 and 5 years younger than her. She was telling me yesterday that her father used to come back and collect her and take her to school, because she went to school in the neighbouring town in Plymouth, and we were 8 miles out from there. I didn't know that, because I'd been dropped off at the shop, and I thought she was catching the bus every day. I had a bike to get myself from the house to the shop. It was about half a mile up a hill and along a bit of level, so it was lovely at lunchtime to pop back home again, and it was good. It didn't take me too long then to I could get home, have something to eat, and get back again, open up at 2 o'clock, and then get home at tea time. The children would be already home. I think my youngest daughter would come across to the shop when she got off the school bus, or the bus from school, it wasn't a school bus, and she'd walk across a bit of moorland to where the shop was and be with me over there for a while, and then we'd go home together. But not every day, sometimes she'd go straight home. When I think about it, they really didn't have to look after themselves quite a bit, because school was till 4 o'clock, and by the time they got home, it was 4:20, and then I got home just after 5, so they weren't on their own very long. Well, I had a couple of lessons with people without him knowing in the first instance, and then he realised I was having these lessons, and he got somebody to come and take me out just around the perimeter of the old aerodrome at Yelverton, and to come back and report to him as to whether I would make a driver. I don't know what they said, but I carried on with driving lessons anyway and passed my tests. Right at the very beginning, when we first married, he was still working, as I said, at the RAF station as with a civilian. His pay was around £12 a week, which I think was pretty good for the mid-50s. I had £3 a week for housekeeping. He paid the rent at £3 a week as well, and then there was the rest of it left over, which presumably is how he was able to save up in order to buy the house and then later buy the shop and the land, etc. He was pretty good with money, I suppose. He'd always been a bit entrepreneurial, I gather, because when he was at school, he bought packets of stamps and sold them individually to children at school, so making a bit of money that way. Until somebody remonstrated with him and suggested that I ought to get some sort of money. And I then got a shilling for every full-scale pet-size rental agreement that I typed up. In the first instance, they had to be typed on a ordinary typewriter. And then we got a Gisetna duplicator. So it was a question then of cutting the stencil and rolling them off, which was much easier, of course. But by then, we were really putting out a lot of televisions. In the first year, we had 6 out. The second year, it had gone up to 24, and it kept on multiplying. Somebody suggested it, and he said it was the worst kind of partnership. I felt I ought to be sharing in a way, but it was very different in those days because men were still in control, shall we say. They were the ones that made the decisions. that was that, you know. Sort of aware, yes, but no time to consider it at all. With what with the business and the farm and the house as well, it was pretty well occupying my time. There was a friend down the road who had five children. We'd occasionally get together for a cup of coffee, but not very often. And there wasn't time. There wasn't time. Didn't get time to see my mother either. She would have to come and visit me. I could never arrange to visit her because there might be something that needed to be done at the farm or something like that. I had an allowance for the housekeeping, so I just had to make it go wherever I could make it go, you know. Buy food that wasn't too expensive. You know, we didn't eat steaks. We'd have cottage pies. And I was lucky in one respect because my husband's uncle was a butcher. I was able to, I think, have the beef and meat a little bit more cheaply at that time, which helped a lot. I kept an account book, and if you wanted to see it, it was there for him to see. But so long as I didn't sort of go asking for extra money all the time, it was okay. But I was responsible in the first place for paying the electricity as well as buying the food and paying the laundry and stuff. And then at one point I managed to persuade him that the electricity could come out of the business, therefore it should come off my allowance, and I therefore had a little bit more money to spend. A family allowance had, the way it was dealt with change, it was always paid to the woman, and because in the past men had drunk it all away, so it was paid to the woman of the house, so she had some money for looking after the children. And the government then decided at some point that they would change the way that they made allowances against your pay for paying tax. And I really don't understand exactly what was going on, but it meant that he was getting an allowance for it. If I didn't get that money, he would get that bit more. It seems a bit mad looking at it now. So I cancelled my family allowance. And then later that same year, got divorced. At least I left him. I didn't divorce till a year later, really. So I wrote to the family allowance people again and said, sorry, can I have it back again? Date it back to the beginning of the year. So they did. So I had several months family allowance as a little capital to be living with, but I also still had in a bank account some of my teaching money, which hadn't been touched. We used it initially to buy prams and cots and things for the children, but there was still quite a bit left over in there, and so I had that as backup as well. It was when I was teaching, because that was my money. I was free. I lived fairly frugally. So I think at that point, that was probably the best point until I came to retirement age. I hadn't known anything about the married woman stamp, even though I paid the staff that we eventually employed. If we'd employed married women, I might have known about it, but I didn't. So I'd paid those stamps since I'd been teaching, so that was only 4 years' worth. It wasn't really worth thinking about. So I actually went on to, it's called pension credit now, and I found it ample for my needs. In a lot of ways, it's very different. Women are much more their own person these days. I don't like the way that that mothers have to go out to work. I feel strongly that they should, or at least that there should be a parent at home until a child is about 12 years old. Because I think there'd be a lot less problems in society if that was the case. But that set aside, women, they're much more confident in themselves. They can stand stand up with men and answer back. I didn't need to do it as a teacher. I didn't have to answer back. But I just feel that women are more confident, is the only way I can put it. I think knowing about various things, watching old films and so on, women had things to put up with that they will not put up with these days. Even an arm around the shoulder, you might not have been able to shrug it off, but now these days you slap it off and shrug it off and slap it as well. The other big difference, of course, is technology. I mean, looking at the work I had to do in the shop, sending out reminders to people because they hadn't paid, jotting every day there were payments coming in, paid every month, so I had to make records of that and make sure that everything was accurate. These days it would go on the computer, they would be paying by direct debit, and so on and so forth. I wouldn't be typing things, it would be on the computer, it would be printed off when you needed it. Make a big difference. But I think the other thing in that respect is that people seem to want more from you in an office. Features these days, they have so much paperwork to do. I would hate to go back to teaching now from what I've seen and heard. I had to go into my great-granddaughter's school a couple of years back because I was going to help her during the summer holidays. She was well behind. And I was shown the records that the teacher had for that child, my great-granddaughter. Even the spellings that she had learnt or not learnt, he had a record of every single thing that she did. I didn't need to keep a record. I knew my children. I didn't have to put it on paper and show the headmaster or anybody else that I knew it. With these days, they have to prove that they know it. Or at least that's the way it looks to me. If I was to be going into a job today, I love bookkeeping, which I discovered whilst I was working with the shop. And I was good at, I did do bookkeeping at school, I was good at it there. So maybe something along those lines. Having been good at bookkeeping, I said to the bookkeeping teacher on one occasion, just not long before leaving school, I'd like to be a bookkeeper instead of a teacher. And she said, don't be silly, computers are coming in. Well, computers were still as big as a room at the time. We won't need bookkeepers, she said. And I loved doing the accounts. I did the accounts for the business up to the going to the income tax office in the first instance anyway. Later on because we had so many things, there was the shop, there was another shop as well, and there was the land and so on, and he'd started buying houses to rent out, so there was a lot more involved and I stopped doing it. But when it was just a simple TV business, and a bit of farm work, I did the accounts right up to the tax office level. Just phone up the tax office, say, what's the depreciation this year on so and so? And it was good.